Hey, Brandon, what are we talking about today?
All right, welcome to another episode of The Sound of Synergy. Today I have a special guest. I have somebody I feel like I should have had a while back. I mean, he's my roommate, friend, and I guess my future brother-in-law. I have Jerwin to you. Why don't you say what's up to everybody?
Hey, what's up, everybody? How are you guys doing?
Yeah, hopefully everyone's doing good. Hopefully listening to this episode. But I just want to introduce Jerwin. He's an RN. He has his BSN. He's also a financial advisor, which I'll let him explain after this because I can't explain it that well. But he's a multifaceted kind of guy, business guy, healthcare guy. And he's also going on his fitness journey. And I've helped him out with that. And that's why I have him on today's episode. So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, hi, everybody. I think Brandon, he said the gist of it pretty well. I do a few things. You know, I enjoy doing a lot of things in general. But as far as professionally, I am a registered nurse at UCLA. I work as a ICU nurse, and I also do a little bit of financial consulting. So it's a pretty fascinating field once I started getting into it about 3 years ago now. And it encompasses a lot of stuff. My main thing with the whole finance side is just financial education. I want to, you know, cure the ills of financial illiteracy, which is something I felt coming out of college. And it's a mission I'm passionate about. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, you should always do something that you're passionate about, especially like if you can help people on the financial end, which I think a lot of us can use. But the reason why I have you on today's episode is because we had this idea that we talked about previously before the new year. You know, it's 2017 now. And I just felt like we needed to start the year off right by this concept that we talked about, which was taking a step back to take two steps forward.
Right.
And I just wanted to start off by saying that the fact that you are multifaceted in that you do nursing, that you do business, that I think the fact that you did those two kind of helped you spur on this idea of taking one step back to take two steps forward, especially in your fitness game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to talk a little bit about what that means to you, taking one step back to move two steps forward.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think it began about four or five months ago, had what I felt was sort of a collapse, a mental exhaustion, sort of like a burnout sort of thing that people feel, you know, on various occasions. But for me,
right,
I think people can relate to it. It's work burnout, you know, as passionate as I was doing, you know, all the things that I wanted to do. I had always had a section of my day dedicated to something fitness related or something just fun that had activity involved. I did collegiate dancing. I love to play basketball and just weight training, all that stuff. It was always really fun to me. So I always made time for that, but that was usually a social thing.
Right.
So getting out of school and getting into the workforce, all of a sudden your priorities now shift to your clients, your patients, your schedule, and just living on your own, stuff like that gets in the way. So next thing you know, all of a sudden my priorities shift and I start to see less and less time in my day available for those physical activities that I love to do. And sure enough, bad habits, they can compound as fast as interest in your bank account can compound.
Oh, most definitely.
And one day I woke up and I just could not get out of bed, and I felt depressed, I felt tired, I just didn't feel like myself, and I knew it wasn't what I was doing, it was how I was doing it. And the hardest thing for me was just coming to terms with the fact that I can't burn the candle on both ends, because, you know, I've always felt like this superhuman will to just do everything that I want to, because one of my biggest fears in life is just not being able to do everything that I want in the time that I'm given. So it pushes me, but it also can be something that can hurt you. So 4 months ago, basically just took a break from a few things professionally and personally, and started to realize that, hey, what can I do to be more fulfilled and more back to the state
psychologically. To get rejuvenated again.
And I realized it was health. It was really health. It was something that I had always had and neglected. And it was a simple equation. I had to just take a step back and stop what I was doing to even realize that in the first place. And when I realized that, that's when I started to reach out to you and started to do my own research, started to do my own workout regimen, started to
take some accountability,
all that stuff. I mean, it was just as plannable and able to map out as a business plan, mm-hmm. or a care plan for a hospital patient. But I wasn't taking care of myself, which is ironic because I had been doing all these things for others while forgetting to take care of myself.
Taking yourself, which is always like a really important thing, I guess, that a lot of us forget. Like, we are on this grind, whether it's professionally or whether it's in our personal life, to take care of other people, whether it's our kids or like you were saying, like patients or even clients for your business. And then we forget to take care of ourselves, which is counterintuitive to some extent, because if you don't take care of yourself, then you can't take care of other people, right? Exactly. But I think what you're describing is what a lot of people do, especially when they get out of college or even if they've been working for 10, 20 years, that they start to shift their priorities from, let's say, physical activities as either playing in the yard or, you know, in school or working out to, let's say, trying to make some money or take care of other people. But I think what you just said was really pertinent, that you decided that, hey, it's like I have to, you know, reshift my focus on myself, mm-hmm. right? So I think at this point, I know I was there since, you know, I'm your roommate, that I saw you go through that whole moment of let's do some research, which I think is awesome because you're taking the responsibility to look up stuff and to learn about your health. But then number two, I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, making mistakes, so to speak, because that's what we're talking about, really, the whole taking one step back also to take two steps forward. Because I think a lot of people like just go gung ho, right? Which I think you can say that you've done. I know I've done, definitely, when I first started working out, like I'm going to do everything that I see on TV or do this program. I'm going to lift 200 pounds. And then eventually I got hurt and stuff like that.
Definitely.
How was your experience with all that?
Ooh, a lot of strained muscles, a lot of ice packs, a lot of Bengay.
And, gosh.
A lot of just more recovery than I was doing actually training, because I felt like I wanted to just go at it so ferociously as far as, you know, time to get supersized arms, six pack. Had a very, you know, bro mentality as far as how to, you know, get back in shape.
Where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes from the fact that, you know, what I had done in the past didn't require too much thinking as far as form, function. It was always just about, you know, just pushing, going hard. That was kind of the crowd that I had worked out with in college. And I guess I took that when I went back to the gym later on, a few years later. And I realized that my body was just not in that exact same condition when I was, you know, 20 years old. And I felt the toll right away. And it was cool, though, because as soon as you realize that, then you realize, you know, the science, and I got really interested and how things work together in quote-unquote synergy.
Synergy, yeah.
And then figuring out all the little intricacies, almost taking, you know, a scientific approach to something that I had never thought was very scientific. It was, to me, you know, you lift this, it grows into that. Mm-hmm. Had no idea even that, you know, muscle tearing was only half of the equation. It was the recovery, which is the one thing I just completely neglected, recovery time. And that's, I think, where the root of all of my failure started to show up. And it was when I didn't have adequate sleep and I was working out, and all of a sudden, here we go again, burning out. But instead of thinking working out will fix it, it made it worse.
Yeah.
So, you know.
and then also compounding that with 12-hour work shifts, doing nursing, and then seeing clients on a daily basis. So you're definitely not getting any rest. And then, like you said, like that's maybe why you're also feeling the burnout, because the burnout is real, not just mentally, but physically as well. I think we live in a world where I talked to my friend Eric about this, the no pain, quote unquote, no pain, no gain mentality. Yeah. And I think sometimes that gets, I don't want to say misinterpreted, but I think it gets taken overboard into maybe to some places like you're talking about, especially like when you want to get back into shape. And I think a lot of people can identify that, especially now for 2017, you know, the new year is here and they want to go gung ho. And maybe hopefully listening to this episode or listening to you saying like, hey, let's stop for a second mm-hmm. and let's start from square one, either by doing some research on your own or maybe hiring somebody that will start you from the appropriate place. Because sometimes I think it's negligent to jump into level 10 when you probably mm-hmm. need to start off at level one.
Right.
Do you think there's a, what can help people to, I guess, take out the pride out of that? Because I think sometimes people like to jump into level 5 or level 10 before they start level mm-hmm. one because they feel obligated that they need to.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what's something they can do? Well, I think, you know, self-awareness, it comes with two things. It can come with mistakes, and it can also come from, you know, just understanding that you don't know, you know?
Right.
So for me, I figured that I just didn't really know what I was, you know, doing wrong. So I just tried a bunch of stuff. But I think the first thing that I did, though, was take a very simple picture of what I was doing that was imbalanced. I think I was out of balance. And the first thing, if you guys are into books, there was a book I read right after that little breakdown I had called The Sleep Revolution by Arianna Huffington.
Oh, yeah. I still need to read that one. I know you told me a little bit about it.
Great read. If you guys get a chance to read it, I mean, probably one of the highlights that I had was just the benefits, you know, the restorative effects of sleep goes an end on list from mental recognitive awareness. It goes back to just the repair of your body. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't know this, but you cannot gain back the benefits of sleep by sleeping, by making it up later.
Like that sleep debt, yeah. Right?
Sleep debt. It's a unrepayable debt. And from a medical standpoint, the side effects are very serious. You know, you can have delayed onset dementia later in life from lack of sleep that you had in your 30s, 20s. And it's such an important factor that I have neglected for the last, I would say, 8-10 years. I think it's an epidemic in the United States.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We're all about productivity.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone away from the natural cycle of the seasons that had made us prosperous and healthy. Because instead of being asleep and resting in winter, now we have phones that keep us awake and alert in winter.
All of this artificial light, so to speak, yes. When, like you said, when lights were off, you go to bed. And I can like actually attest to that. When I was in Africa for the mission trip, which was, wow, like 5-6 months ago now.
Oh, yeah.
Four or 5-6 months ago. Right, we didn't have any lights, or we did, so to speak, but it wasn't like city lights. So when it got dark, like 7 o'clock, I was tired by 8. I wanted to go to sleep like at 8:30 after I ate dinner. So, like you said, I think we live in a world that's just we artificially put light, and we don't follow these more quote unquote natural ways of going about, especially in rest.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, sleep it's an interesting concept because people think of it in our society as, you know, sleeping is a thing that we should sacrifice to be successful.
That no pain, no gain.
And I definitely, you know, I believe that, you know, in school they teach you that. As young as probably 16 or 15 in high school, they're telling you about things like all-nighters, and it's a badge of honor that you need to have this amount of sleep and you will be able to do anything you want if you just, you know,
if you put in the hard work.
And put in the hard work, yeah. But, I'm just here to debunk that theory. That's not true, you know?
I think you've lived both of that, right? Yeah. I mean, I've seen you work 12-hour shifts, go from nursing, go into business. And, of course, like, you're reaping the benefits of that, meaning you're financially well off, you're able to pay for things that you want to do, live nicely and comfortably. But then you're not really enjoying it because you're so physically and mentally burnt out. So exactly. It's like, is like you said, is that balance? Mm-hmm. Is it worth that? And I think even now you kind of change your career a little, not change career, but you kind of altered the way that you perceive your recovery, your sleep, your fitness. Yeah. And then also even just how much you work, you kind of like sacrifice a little bit of your working time so you can gain more of your mental and physical health so you can enjoy those things, right?
Yeah, definitely. So to give, you know, the listeners kind of a picture of what that looked like. So for 2 years, The last 2 years, I was working, you know, a full-time nursing shift, job three to four days a week, you know, 12-hour shift, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Then every 3 days, I'd have a business meeting I'd have to attend right after those. So I go from 7 to 7 at nursing, then go from 7:30 till 9:30 p.m. at the office, and then I come home, do a little bit of work, close out accounts, and then still find time to work out. And I'm going to sleep, honestly, midnight, 1 p.m. or 1 a.m. every day, and then repeating that. And then when I'm not at the hospital, doing the same hours, but at the office. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so doing that, all that stuff, I realized, you know, make my life simpler. So what I did since then and what I'm doing in the new year now is I've moved my job for nursing closer to home to cut a huge transit time that I was doing, working only once a week. So I'm only per diem there part-time. And then I'm doing the office at a more structured, more efficient schedule, and making fitness, working out, sleep, a waking routine, all that stuff, I'm making that a priority. I'm almost making them in my calendar as if they were client appointments, non-negotiable appointments. And
like, you have to do them
no matter what. And buying good groceries, setting a budget, you know, feeling good and living a life that you want to have can only be true if you have both synchrony with your health and your business and family balances.
Yeah, having balance. Yeah.
So it takes work. I mean, you're in a relationship with my sister, going to get married in 2 years, and you know better than anyone. It is not something you just decide and in theory looks good, sounds good. You do it by agreement and it just happens.
Yeah.
You've got to really go through it, you know?
And you have to commit. That's what it yeah. really is, making the commitment. And I think sometimes we kind of, I don't want to say nonchalantly, but sometimes we just kind of go through the motions of trying to be healthy, which I think is almost the opposite of what you should do. You should be doing what you're saying, which is make it a priority, make it a commitment. You almost have to schedule it in. You can't mm-hmm. just be like, oh, you know, if I have time when I get home, I'll do it. It's like, no, like, you have to schedule it so then you can make time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is part of like today's topic of taking one step back to take two steps forward. You have to stop where you are, reevaluate, mm-hmm. and then put into motion some of these things. So this brings me to, you know, this next topic that I wanted to speak about, since, you know, we are trying to get people to get more fitness autonomous, so to speak. And that is how you went through in terms of your workouts. I know, what was this, a few months ago, you came up to me and was just like, you know, I always have back pain, and like, I'm working out pretty well, but like, I always have back pain, or my legs are sore, or my arms are sore.
Oh yeah.
And I think I told you at that point, I was like, well, some form is off, or you're pushing a little bit too much here, or you're lifting too much weight, or let me adjust your form, or we need to just go not from a back squat, but let's just start off with just a basic body weight squat. Yeah. And that's where I think also it's like taking one step back to take two steps forward. Yeah. What's your journey throughout that whole process of finding what to work out, and then finally now where you are, where you're a little bit more conscious of what you're doing when you're working out?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think the best thing I've learned in the midst of, you know, screwing up form, straining muscles, all that stuff, is identifying exactly where I'm weak and knowing what I need to do to strengthen it in a holistic manner. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, for example, with the back pain, I think the root of that came from bad body mechanics at work, prolonged time sitting in a chair, not stretching, and then going gung-ho without warming up and stretching on
like,
my workouts.
Like, you know, lifting, trying to lift squats, trying to do the deadlifts, right?
And it goes first to the idea that to build muscle, you must tear it down first. But what I was doing was tearing it down without giving it time to recover. So you can see where kind of the negative snowball was starting to come into effect. But going back to what I realized again was, you know, figuring out what was the weakest point. So for me, it was, you know, back pain. And I realized that I had to do everything in my power to slowly, and I emphasize that, guys, slowly strengthen the supporting muscles, including the core, the glutes, elongating and stretching the muscles so that you can actually contract and strengthen those muscles that are stabilizing it. And then literally doing just form workouts and just strengthening the body mechanics and the form and making that muscle memory to a point where it becomes second nature. Because what have I learned from working out with you? The moment I start to go max rep, which is what, you know, most commercial weightlifting coaches and plan creators tell you to do. Once you max out, what's the thing they don't tell you? Form goes out the window.
Oh, it's like the first thing that goes, especially if you're, even whether or not it's you're going max on like weight, if you're doing like, you're trying to hit a rep, you're just going to go all out just to get it and your form goes kaput.
And what do they say though? Because you see, it's kind of a, it's sort of a setup for failure, because when they tell you those transformation program instructions, the first thing they tell you is to go until failure, which a lot of people take as, you know, just do that one extra repetition until you can't do one, but they never remind you, you know, you need to have a good foundation. And that's the one thing that once I figured that out and I took the time and took a step back and just took, you know, my ego out of the equation.
Yeah, I told think that's myself, a big thing.
You know what? I understand that, you know, there is a 10-week transformation challenge program that I've, you know, taken and purchased and followed. But you know what? It might take 15, because I might spend 5 weeks just strengthening all the muscles that I know are going to be required to be a little stronger before I can actually do that and see the changes. So what you see in a lot of, you know, fitness stuff out there is all the magical transformation stories.
Oh, yeah, and like fancy moves and fancy programs to make those transformations.
But they don't show, you know, the hundreds and thousands of casualties. I call them casualties because there are people that fail.
Oh, I would agree.
Doing these programs with improper training, form, balance training, all that stuff. And because of that failure, they don't even pick up another weight for God knows how long, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's a vicious cycle because you get put down or you start to be like, man, that didn't work, or you got injured. So that definitely psychologically, you know, makes you so not want to do it.
I would say for me, there was, I would say P90X had a personal, you know, weight training friend at school. Mm-hmm. Couple of online coaches, stuff like that. Various levels of success and failure, but all of them had their own share of, you know, failure, meaning it didn't go exactly how I hoped it would.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just because, you know, I want to just commit to getting to that point, I keep doing it, but most people don't do that. Most people that I've talked to, friends, they've done P90X and then they just stopped. That was it. And that was in 2005.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. And the funny part is that a lot of people have done it. Like, you know, Adam, who's been on a couple episodes, came on and he talked about P90X and him and his friends. I've done it. I know like dozens of our friends have done it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a great program. And of course, you're going to do things wrong or fail. And you can always learn from those things. But I think what Jerwin's saying, what you're saying is, it's pretty pertinent. Like if you can cut those quote unquote casualties out to kind of almost make, I'm gonna use the buzzword shortcut, then that would be it to, instead of just jumping straight into a program, to take the time to really build a foundation.
Yeah.
And I think I saw you do that. I mean, we're still working on it, right? In terms of, I've seen you do some reps, and then all of a sudden, even though we have to do 10, you'll stop at 8 because you'll be like, okay, my form is off, and you become more aware of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's like so important for people to know. I put it this way. Of course, there's always better exercises and newer things to do that will make exercising a little bit better or more progressive, but you can never go wrong with basic things as learning how to do a proper push-up, learning to do a proper body weight squat, so you're not falling forward or falling back or your knees hurt. And then doing a proper plank. Heck, not even just doing proper plank, learning how to breathe and engage your core. Like, remember, we started off for a week or so trying to teach you how to engage your core, right? People like to crunch their core versus actually blowing out. If you haven't already caught that, catch my 5-Minute Fitness episode on that, on how to utilize your core, because... Mm-hmm. Or wait, it's actually for low back pain, and I tell you how to use your core, and I think that's really important. I almost make this like analogous to like a house. You know, if your foundation sucks, you can make your house all nice and pretty and make it modern and put a bunch of lights and stuff, but if that foundation sucks, the minute that there's an earthquake, or it doesn't even have to be an earthquake, that that house collapses. Right. And so that's exactly how our body is, right? If our joints, tendons, ligaments are not properly aligned and not properly trained with basic squats or push-ups or even core work, then we're not going to be able to do a back squat or jumping, jump lunge or anything. One book or one online mentor that we like is Elliot Hulse. Do you want to talk a little bit about Elliot Hulse?
Because
he talks, shout out to him, become the strongest version of yourself. His stuff is really awesome. Check him out on YouTube if you haven't.
Yeah, man. Elliot, I mean, shoot, there's so much to say about Elliot. Yeah. I mean, where do I even start? I picked up a book out of it. If you guys haven't figured it out, I'm an avid reader. King, one of his most recent books. Basically, tagline, become the strongest version of yourself, you know? And it's a true testament to that motto, because everything he's talking about is really similar to what, you know, Brandon's doing with Strength of Synergy, in the sense of it is a trinity. He always talks about a trinity, you know, mind, body, spirit. But all in all, what he's just sort of, you know, given me for, you know, his two cents is understanding the whole picture and being very involved with the detailed small pieces along the journey, each step of the way, and kind of just being the anti to all of the stuff that you're hit with on social media, marketing, as far as 90-day challenges, or not even those. Honestly, it's really just telling people that you can transform, and they really do work, but it doesn't give you the "and then what." And what he sort of does is he just explains things in a way that focuses on form, focuses on taking a step back to move forward. He says that theme over and over in his book. The way he trains his clients, he takes it from a approach of what are you eating, what are you thinking, what are you feeling, and to really listen to those natural responses versus push through it. Don't listen to your body. He tells you to listen to your body, and he tells you to be very in sync with the natural responses, and how easy and yet fundamentally that may sound, we have been trained to forget that, to listen to ourselves.
Where do you think that comes from? Because that is an idea that I really like ponder on a daily basis, especially like through this whole concept of the Strength of Synergy, because I think it's easy to say that, oh, social media and media perpetuates that. And I know that it's a component, but I have to believe that it had to come from before social media, because social media has somewhat been around for the last 5 to 10 years, really. And I think just this idea of, like you said, don't listen to your body, push until it hurts, and all this stuff, like, it really is counterintuitive to like how we've done things back in the day, biologically speaking, when we were hunters and gatherers, right? If it was too dark outside, or if we heard a sound outside, we'd just be like, okay, don't go out there, let's be safe, don't be risky. And now I'm not saying don't take risks and don't push hard, but sometimes now that we like to go and push way too hard, or we like to take too many risks, which can lead to injuries, as you've experienced with your low back pain or knee pain. Or for me, when I used to go hard, I would sprain my ankle, and then 3 days later I'd go out and play because, quote unquote, felt better and I need to play, versus like, let me rehab it for the appropriate 2 to 4 to 6 weeks, you know?
Right.
And
it's interesting.
Yeah, I really did. I remember for Elliot, he speaks upon the whole building again your foundation, because you can really use these 10-week programs, 12-week programs, and get a transformation, but you have like all this fancy looking muscle under like a weak base.
Right.
And I know he speaks about that, even though it looks good, eventually there's going to come in a time where it breaks.
Yep.
And legit, like, figuratively and legitimately, it breaks, right? Meaning like it tears or you get injured, right? And I think you've experienced that a lot, but I think you've gained a lot in the past few months too, as well, from taking a step back. So not only are we talking about the physical aspect of taking a step back to move 2 steps forward, but let's talk about more of the nutritional side too as well. I think that gets kind of lost in translation sometimes. Yeah. You want to talk a little bit about your journey in terms of the nutrition aspect?
Yeah,
water, just, nutrition, all that.
Yeah, just for the record, in 2017, no more McDonald's. So if you
guys no more 20 piece nugget, guys.
We're only doing 10 pieces.
Nah. No, see, we're cutting it in half. Okay.
So, like you guys probably relate to, Brandon lives with me, and once in a while I have a bad day at work and I come home and I do the walk of shame and I have a bag of, you know, golden arches,
yeah, good, hanging the goodies,
hanging underneath my keys. And you know what? It's not worth it, right? Mm-hmm. Because the little changes, you know, they really add up. And I think a great example of that is with, you know, McDonald's chicken nuggets, because what are you doing? You got to always, you know, take a step back and realize what's going on. What's really happening here? Why do I keep choosing this as a comfort to stress? Right. And the reason is because it's easy. It's the opposite of discipline. It's the opposite of commitment. But what you can actually do, and what I feel I've learned by taking a step back, is that if I continue to let that habit occur, it will become a recurring theme in my life in other areas. And you guys may think, oh, it's a piece of chicken nuggets. Who cares? Everyone deserves a cheat meal. We're not talking about a cheat meal. I'm talking about how do you cope, right? So when things are perfectly set up as far as your life, you can do all these great things that sound good, like working out and eating. But what happens when you face adversity? You know, something goes wrong in your family. There is new stress in your life. These are things that are inevitable but are going to happen. If you still continue to associate these negative behaviors with comfort and pleasure in those stressful times, well, guess what? What's going to happen with your fitness journey? You're going to stop working out when you feel stressed out. When you get something that you're not expecting, you're going to, instead of sleep early, you're going to stay up late and be on your phone. So what I'm trying to tell you guys for 2017 and you, Brandon, is just, you know, I'm trying to make a commitment to myself to no longer associate vices and guilty pleasures as something that makes me feel good.
Right.
But rather finding things that I am doing that are good for me and just treating those things not as disciplined, forced things, but just enjoying the act of doing those things because they make me feel good.
Yeah.
So it's a shift in mindset. It's higher level stuff, you guys. It's kind of, you know, we're talking about, you know, looking at something as little as a chicken nugget and extrapolating what this means psychologically, but it really, it exists, this connection between association. So that's why I wanted to bring that analogy.
No, I think it does. I think we know from psychiatry or psychology that like things as little like as you said as chicken nugget or a bag of Cheetos or whatever can be totally tracked back down to something that's something that happened at work, or you got yelled at, or you lost your job, or someone broke up with you, or you had a hard test. You know, all of these things, we try to find things to help cope with our mm-hmm. with our stresses. And I'm a big believer of Newton's law of, is it Newton? Yeah, it's Newton, where energy is neither created nor destroyed. It's just transferred.
Displaced, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not just like physical energy. We're also talking about like, you know, emotional energy as well,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really good to be aware of those things and trying to make a conscious effort to stop that. But what have you, how else have you tried to reinforce that idea, not just from the mental shift? Are there things that you've been doing like on a physical basis to help reinforce that idea of not going to McDonald's or any of that stuff that may help some of the listeners?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some like things you can do to make your poor decisions not in the equation when those times come. So from food choices, what I like to do is just shop for really good alternative treats. Things like Quest protein bars, Quest chips,
Quest
like
cereal
that.
Bars. Try those, guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do, like peanut butter cups from Quest taste exactly like Reese's,
yeah.
Except there's protein and zero sugar, you know, and
Lenny and Larry's, man.
Yeah, Lenny and Larry cookies.
Try those out. Those are good, too.
I mean, things like placement in your fridge. You know, what is the first thing you look at when you open your fridge? Do you have, you know, sugary, carby, starchy things there? Or do you have your veggies, your protein, snacks, waters, hydrational supplements, things like that? Just making those instinctual choices easier as far as giving yourself healthier choices and options. Like, I have a small fridge in my room where I have snacks. And if you could take a photo of it 2 years ago when I first moved into my place and now, oh my God, it's like asking someone to, you know, show what their lunch looks like 2 years ago and now, and it was gummy bears, and now it's like asparagus and strained steak, you know?
See,
like,
it's not only did you upgrade your car from a Lancer, you to a Mercedes, you upgraded your fridge to like sugary goods, to asparagus and some, what is it called? The sparkling water. See?
Oh yeah, sparkling water too. No more soda.
No, that's another good replacement, to be honest. Like, I used to hate sparkling water. Mm-hmm. But if you slowly start to realize the reason why you like the sodas is, yeah, the sugar, but it's that bubbly, the carbonation that usually gets you, that's a taste that you're craving. Yeah. And so, yeah, sparkling water may taste bad for the first few times, but if you just stay diligent with it, you can almost trick your mind into thinking it's soda. And that's all we drink now, especially when we want like a carbonated type of satisfaction. And that helps curve away our soda addiction.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think something that you did bring up, which is really good, is like how you organize your fridge. And more importantly, what you put into that fridge. And I know some people find it very difficult to go shopping for groceries. And maybe another time we'll talk more specifically about it. Mm-hmm. But something very simple that some people always say is like, oh, you know, eating healthy is too expensive. But let's kind of break it down. Like, we went to Costco yesterday, and we pretty much just spent like $100, right, for the food that we got. So 100 for you, 100 for me, but we pretty much split that, right? And one thing that, if you think about it, let's say you do go to McDonald's and get 5-piece chicken nuggets for $5, but that's only one meal.
Right.
Let's say you do that, just let's say twice in a day, that's $10 times seven. That's $70 in a week times 4 weeks. That's can't even do math. $280.
Yeah.
Right. In a month, versus spending $100 and half of it we spent on quote unquote healthy frozen foods, meaning like frozen vegetables, frozen meats. So when we are lazy, we can just warm that up pretty quickly with frozen vegetables and warm up the frozen meat, put some seasoning on it, and we're good to go. So at least we're not making poor choices. And in the long run, we are saving
money.
So I think that's one thing to keep in mind. I mean, of course, if you're buying fresh vegetables, fresh fruit on a consistent basis, which I am a big advocate of, that's going to be a little bit more expensive. But if you do half of like, okay, I'm just going to get some fruit or whatever fruit and vegetables for just the week. And then I'll get frozen food, so it'll last me for the month. Every week, you just kind of go and get a little bit, 5 pieces of fruit the next week, or some 2 or 3 other different vegetables. And then you have different varieties and you're eating healthier.
But let's talk about the cost of medication.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about that. Actually, you were the one who told me about that concept of how we spend our money and our wealth like later on towards medication versus like spending the money on our health and early on. You know, I'll let you speak on that.
Yeah, well, the saying goes, here is what the rest of the world makes fun of us for. So I'm talking about, I have cousins in Australia, people I know from all outside the U.S. that have explained, you know, what's so ironically wrong with our culture, which is, we're one of the richest countries in the world, you know, for good reason. We work very hard. We sacrifice a lot of things to make what our country is. You know, we have a lot of opportunity. But fact of the matter is, the overall theme of Americans that people have pictured of us is that we sacrifice our health to get money and wealth. And we do this for X amount of time, basically as long as it takes for us to burn out, or we realize that we are no longer healthy, because we equate wealth with health. But what ends up happening? We accumulate all this wealth just to spend it on fixing our health. So what's more expensive, you know, going to the groceries and getting fresh vegetables, or ending up in a hospital room with me, where I'm looking at your medication bill and on a daily, it's $300 for daily medications.
Yeah, it gets really expensive.
Multiply that by 365 days. I mean,
and those are basic diseases, right? Like hypertension, diabetes. These are not like the high level, high risky type of diseases.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine those cost even more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all that stuff, it goes again back to the concept of just, you know, taking a holistic approach to things. What is the point of, you know, getting to all these attained goals and places if you can't enjoy it physically? You know, that's the only thing you need to enjoy all the things that you're working hard for. Your health, mentally, physically, spiritually. But if you attain all these things, then they're just things. Without the rest of it, there is no meaning. So I love to just, you know, share that story, because that's how people look at us. You know, in Australia, I have 7 cousins out there. They love, you know, the way the lifestyle is, because they can enjoy things. And the reason they can enjoy things is because they're not sacrificing their health as much.
Right.
They still do all they need to do, but they make it a priority to be healthy. And it's something that I want to, you know, hope for you guys in the new year, that you make a commitment to bringing back as a staple in your life as far as prioritizing your time.
Yeah, I think that's very, very well said. I think the whole sacrificing your health for wealth is very, very rampant, you know, in America. And it kind of goes again with the whole gratification, what you just said about, okay, in the long term, when we get some of these health diseases and stuff, that we have to pay $300 or $400 for these medications. But sometimes I think we don't think long term, we think very short term, right? And even though right now we're young, or you're relatively young, that you may not have these certain disabilities or certain diseases, and you just like kind of write it off, it'll be fine because I have to work anyways. Like, you start to, I think we're really good at rationalizing. And one of those things is like, hey, you know, I have to work. I have to do these things. And you know what? You have to work. You have to sacrifice time for you to, you know, make ends meet for your family and for yourself.
Yeah.
But I think it all stems back to, I think it just takes a little bit of your time and effort to make your health a priority.
Yeah.
And
but it's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it in the end. So really, you can spend the time with your family, spend the time to, when you do get that wealth, to spend it on yourself being healthy and be able to go on trips, be able to run with your daughter or son, or hang out with your family at the beach, you know, so you're not like on a ventilator, or, you know, having to get an amputation because of diabetic neuropathy or something, you know?
So, and, I mean, start early, you know, because there's no earliest time to get into learning about health and fitness and wellness. Because by the time you're sick, or you have a collapse, it doesn't matter what age you are, you're going to feel overwhelmed with all the things that you need to do to fix it. So while you're healthy, which most of you, you know, I'm assuming are, to a point where you can still get up, go to work, make your own meals and all that stuff, you know, pick up a men's health magazine or a women's health magazine, or just go online and look up an article about, you know, what's one thing I can do today that can make me healthier. That can be something as simple as, like, what I do. I literally, on a daily basis, I look up YouTube videos on how to better my form in maybe one exercise that I'm kind of struggling in. And with foods, I will look at what's the best food for blank. If I'm feeling, you know, low in energy, if I'm feeling like literally fatigue wise, and in the mornings I started to realize, you know, I was starting to start my day slower than usual. I was like, what is the best breakfast for a high energy morning? You know, and I was able to cut out foods that were high in animal proteins, and just add organic eggs into the mix and stuff like that. Oatmeal over white bread, stuff like that. Little things you can look up. It's interesting because, more importantly, what do? We like to consume things that make us feel good and feel better. Well, that's something, just like shopping, will, once you attain that knowledge and you apply it and use it, you have it, you will feel better. And if you take simple steps to just gain an interest in your health, it'll go a longer way than just you deciding in the new year that we're going to do this for this amount of days. Again, guys, building habits, you know, just looking at things in the bigger picture. That's where you start to get change. And more importantly, not just change, just sustainability, which yes. is what Sound of Synergy and Strength of Synergy is all about, which is why I'm all about it. It's about the long term.
Yeah, man, that's what, like, you put it perfectly. I think that's what we're about. That's what the whole idea of Synergy is to me. We covered a lot of good topics on today's episode, but for this last portion, I just want to give the listeners 2 to 3 things that they can do concretely to help them take a step back to take 2 steps forward. I'll go ahead and go first, give you some time to think, and then you can give your 2 to 3 things. But if I were going to give you 2 to 3 things that you can do in 2017 that will help you take a step back so you can take 2 steps forward, would be, number one, definitely read something or list or watch something that will benefit you in your health, whether it's your mind or physical self, whether that's YouTube, a podcast, reading a book, and not even reading the whole book. You could just read 5 pages a day or 2 pages a day, whatever you can to help you get on that track. So that's one thing. Two, definitely add 1 vegetable to your daily consumption of food, into every meal. I mean, so whether you're eating a burger, have a side salad, or you're eating a steak, have, you know, a handful of broccoli, do that. And then number three, definitely, if you're going to go on a program, if you're following somebody's program, or you have a trainer, or you're just doing this on your own, really take the time to start off with basic things. Just make sure your squat mechanics are pretty good, your push-up is pretty good, and or you're engaging your core in a plank is pretty good. If you can master those 3 things, I think that will give you a start on taking a step back to take 2 steps forward.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I'll give you guys the business plan for three ways to plan out the best way of going 2 steps back to move 3 steps forward.
Oh, okay. We're taking more steps forward.
Because Brandon gave you guys a concrete right now, what do you do today? I want to give you guys something that's a little different, just so you don't get confused, which is more of the overall plan map. This is something I did in 2017, so I want to share it with you guys, and it's 3 steps also, so it fits. The first thing is write down a list of goals that you set for the new year, right? So like most people do, literally write it down. For me, what I did was I had a personal life goal, business goal, health goal, and a mental goal, things that I wanted to fix. So once you have those written down, the second step is write down underneath it what's one thing that you can do every day to get closer to that goal, right? So do that and literally do that every single day. And then the third thing is visualize what that person looks like, which should be the best version of yourself that you've hopefully envisioned to create these goals. And just ask yourself, honestly, what does that person look like? And every time you start your day and you look at those goals and you look at the one thing you have to do, ask yourself, am I doing everything in my power every day to become that best version of myself? And if you do that every day, there is no doubt in my mind that you will become, you know, a picture of that person. So my challenge is just for me and for you guys is just to understand, what do you think the best version of yourself looks like, and make 2017 the year that you become that person.
Awesome. Great stuff. If you have any questions, or if you have any questions for Jerwin, email us at thesoundofsynergypodcast@gmail.com and we'll get back to you. And I just want to thank Jordan. Thank you for being on today's episode.
I had fun.
Yeah, man. We got to do it again sometime. I mean, you're like one door down.
Yeah, exactly. So anytime.
We'll do it again. Until next time, guys, find your strength and synergy. Peace.
Peace.